Well, joining us once more for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Morning, Darren.
How are you?
I suspect I'm as cold down here as you are up there.
I think so. You looking forward to Christmas?
Yes. We do the same thing the last couple of years. We stay in a little hotel in a little village just outside Reading on the Thames. We're watching the swans swimming past us as we speak.
Oh, very nice.
And we now find that we have a distinguished neighbour.
Oh, yeah.
On the little island next to us, in the shape of Mr. George Clooney and his human rights lawyer wife.
Wow. Okay. Are you going to be popping along for a Christmas drink with George?
I wouldn't think so, because the last time we met in Venice, we didn't... Nice enough guy, but... I took objection to all the numbers of goons and bodyguards.
Oh, really?
Floating around completely, almost human-proof hotel at 11:15 at night, protecting our George.
Right.
Which I thought was a bit OTT. So I went across and discussed the matter with George, and we agreed to differ on our thoughts on the outcome, which are not to be expressed live on TV
radio. Fair enough. Plenty to get through, KB. Let's start with... this comes about every year with the fixture congestion and fixtures being moved around. We'll move on to Leeds United shortly. But whether or not the English Football League would actually benefit from a winter break, what are your thoughts?
Well, I remember nothing new about this discussion. We've been going for a long time. And I remember when I was on the FA board, or committee as it was called in those days, this debate came up once again, and they argued we'd benefit from a winter break. And to be fair, Graham Kelly, the then chief executive of the FA, had got a very decent analogy. The idea was the weather was so bad, we should shut down for 3 weeks. And the weather normally, in those days, was bad in the month of January. But he got details from the Met Office and analysed over 14 to 20 years. And the problem is, I mean, this is before, you know, the recent weather, international weather change, which is so unreliable now. But the problem is, we found the bad weather wasn't consistent. Sometimes we had lousy Novembers, lousy Decembers, and even lousy Februarys, when you had snow and ice, had to cancel matches and so on and so forth. Now, they've had it on the continent for years, I know. If you think about it, their weather tends to be more stable than ours. I mean, well, you always ski in the Alps in December, January, because you know there'll always be thick snow and freezing weather. So that's where they organise their break. So that was... that's okay on the continent, but in England or Great Britain, as we used to call it in the old days, it's not consistent. So you could have a situation whereby you shut for 2 or 3 weeks, then immediately hit afterwards by bad weather, which shuts you down involuntarily another 2 or 3 weeks, then you've got a hopeless fixture condition. So I don't think it's... So, and all this banging about tiredness and fatigue, good God. Players now are fitter and stronger. They've got far better medical facilities and treatment, this, that and the other. And in the old days, I mean, I can remember when I was a kid, you used to play Christmas Day, Boxing Day, then New Year's Day, so you played the 25th, 26th, and then the 1st. And so 3 games in 8 days. And in those days, you used to go by train. Like in one particular season, West Ham were playing Blackburn Rovers. And Blackburn Rovers went down to West Ham 1-8-2. They all went back on the train together. Next day, played at Blackburn. Blackburn 1-3, West Ham 1-3-1. So I don't think it's a question of weakness and fatigue. I think maybe they're, in those days, they're off the players' off-field activities were more cautious. But they didn't have the money to go to nightclubs and parties and that kind of stuff. So I like Sam Allardyce, but I think in this case, I think he's wrong. And the other problem was, and the FA cynically pointed out last week when this debate came up again, that's okay, but you find in the 3 weeks break, what do? They fly off to Japan, or Asia, or Miami, play lucrative games in front of foreign audiences. So the break, Sam talking about a 5 day break in Dubai, well, it's a 6 or 7 hour flight to get there, 6 or 7 hour flight to get back. So there's a 5 day break for two of those Benton aeroplanes. No, just cut down on the festivities, and say to keep the season as it is. But maybe the FA should help by cutting down on some of these stupid international meaningless friendlies. If you put on the 85th minute when you're playing Gibraltar or something, you get an English cap, become an English international. That should be looked at as well.
Well, that's a good point, KB. Plenty to go through. Let's just get a quick update from you on the latest with David Haig. Last time we spoke, he was still in a prison in Dubai, been moved around a little bit. What's the latest?
David was due to be released on the 16th, and Monday the 16th of November, with a deportation order against him. On the Friday, that was on the Monday, on the Friday, they walked in and charged him with a new alleged crime. I forget the exact phraseology, but basically it meant defamation by Twitter. Again, these charges were made by GFH in Bahrain through their Dubai office. But Hay had been banged up in a jail for 2 years. Or getting on for 2 years. 3 years. And he isn't allowed a mobile phone, let alone a computer of any kind. So apparently, although there is a website which is attributed to him, he couldn't possibly have anything to do with it. And they tightened up his restrictions on him, because when he first went to jail, I used to be able to talk to him about once a month. But I think I've spoken to him now for 9 or 10 months, because they don't allow him communications and access, other than through his lawyer. And I think he gets one visit from a local person for half an hour, once a week. But again, he hasn't been challenged specific. It's all a mockery of justice, a travesty of justice. And I'm afraid that this case is now becoming far more known around the world, and Dubai is becoming known as the place not to go for business, because you can't trust local justice. On Bahrain, who has the cheek to advertise themselves as Bahrain, the place for business, I wouldn't trust any Bahraini as far as I could throw them. Anybody from GFH, the fact of the matter is, they're simply trying to keep Hay shut up so he can't open his mouth and expose the mess that is GFH. As I've said before, and I'll say again, they didn't have the money to complete the purchase of Leeds. That's why they delayed it for so long. And of course, there was no deal to complete because they hadn't done the documentation because they hadn't got the money. I believe their balance sheet is a sham. And I believe when David Hay is finally released, I believe he'll show the thing up for what it's worth. And that's why I'm desperate to keep him banged up. I wouldn't be at all surprised if when this thing's sorted out, he doesn't get hit with something else. And the problem is, the government aren't doing a damn thing. It's okay for Prince Charles to go to Saudi Arabia and appeal for the release or mercy for some guy, old guy sentenced for 300 lashes. But he's only had a couple of hours on his private jet to go to Dubai and intervene about David Hague, but somehow he didn't get around that far. No? So we don't know when David's coming out, because they don't do anything. They don't give a damn about anything in Dubai, because the Arabs have no sense of time. I think manana is some form of urgent appeal. So he will be in over Christmas. Well, here's Christmas now, isn't it? They put it back to January, and they'll look at it then. The problem is you can make these allegations, all kinds, without having to justify them. And the Arab attitude seems to be, in general, we'd better hang on to you while we sort it out. Except that they don't sort it out. So we can only hope and be with David Hay in spirit.
Well, moving on to other topics in football, and the big news this last week, really. Sepp Blatter, Michel Platini getting 8-year bans from all football-related activities following that ethics investigation, KB.
Well, they're finished now, about time to... I don't know too much about Platini other than, say, try to charge for a private jet when he played a representative game against the Football League in 1988. But Blatter is a thoroughly evil man. And, of course, it's been kept quiet for so long because everybody's in on it. But once the fabric starts undoing, then the stories come out. And once this is resolved, I mean, I saw him watch his latest interview, it's pathetic. He used the word 15 times in 10 minutes. He said he didn't mean it. And he turns around and said, I am the president. I'm suspended, so how can you elect a new president while I'm still the president, even though I'm suspended? Torturous logic. But at long last, he's gone. But then, whoever gets in, now going to start cleaning out the stables. How far down does he go to get rid of people who must have known what Blatter was doing and his cohorts? And therefore must have either been, not either aware of it, or participating in it. Be interesting to know what kind of salaries they've been earning. Particularly, remember reading that thing, do I go into Blatter, hasn't flown on a commercial plane for 30 years. Remember some poor kids in Brazil or the Sudan, hadn't got a pair of boots to play football. He'll drag on a bit low. It'd be a bit like the David Hay thing in reverse. He'll drag on, drag on, drag on. They'll go eventually. Then they'll open up the files. And I suspect the FBI have got more to release yet. Because we know the Chuck Blazer turned informer 3 years ago. They've been wired up for meetings and conversations. So they've probably got a lot more they haven't revealed yet. So good riddance. Problem, who do we replace them with? Now, of course, the next thing we've now got is Lord Coe, newly appointed president of IIAF. And now there's a suggestion the campaign was sponsored by certain individual associations. And they're now looking into whether they should review the suspension of Russia from the Rio Olympics. Gets rotten and rotten and rotten, doesn't it, all round?
Yeah, it certainly does, KB. Let's turn our attention to Leeds United. Press conference yesterday was quite interesting with Steve Evans. He launched a bit of an attack on the Football League, accusing the governing body of deliberately obstructing the club's attempts to win promotion to the Premier League. So this feud over fixture disruption and televised matches. He suggested the Football League's refusal to intervene was down to the fact that it was perhaps wanting to keep you in the Football League.
I think that was a silly remark to make. But having said that, I agree with Cellino when he was complaining that Leeds were being chosen unfairly in their appearances. That's very simple. All they have to do is to have a rule amendment at the annual general meeting of the Football League, which says that no club can play more than X number of games live on TV, have their fixtures moved, than X in a season. We did that, I helped to do it actually. We did it for, in those days, well, they still do in the Premier League, but in those days in the Football League, you got an appearance fee. And so what the TV company tended to do was try and hog all the big matches, the usual big six or so. So the small club didn't get a look in. So I was instrumental in helping to get a regulation passed that said no club could be chosen more than X number of games a season. And every club had to have a minimum of Y games a season. And the way they got around that, of course, they would put a small club at home against a big club. So the big club attracted the crowds and the small club got the appearance money. I mean, it evened itself out. Now, I'm not sure they pay appearance money anymore in the Football League. And if they don't, that's even more reason why no club should be picked on unduly, because not fair on the fans. I mean, many fans buy their away match tickets to travel, for example, quite early on, because you get cheaper rail tickets if you go early, if you book early. Then they're finding they have to stop and start again. It's not fair. And again, I can understand Chirino thinking he teaches the Cubs a lesson by restricting the tickets for Leeds fans and travelling away. But he was making a valid point. He didn't realise the collateral damage he was doing to the ordinary Leeds fans, and he had to withdraw that, which made him look a bit silly, unnecessarily. But no, I think the Football League hierarchy should intervene to make it more fair for the club, each club and the club supporters. And I see that at the end of the season, the Football League changing their name. They've also signed a new 3-year contract with Sky. So that would have been the opportunity, haven't we taken it, to limit the number of the exposure any one club. I think the manager should not have said or suggested it was a conspiracy, because he could leave himself open to disrepute charge and have difficulty improving it. So let's get on. Fact of the matter is, after a stinking start, one time looked like Leeds could easily be relegated into League One, the last games pulled them back up. So I think what you do now is keep quiet about his fears of allegations of people being prejudiced against Leeds. And keep talking to Chirino. Make sure he gets his checkbook out so he can sign the players in the transfer window to strengthen his team. The only problem that, of course, is that if you're Chirino, would you get your checkbook out and strengthen the team when you're getting abuse from your own supporters? Which is what fans should think about when they are full of verbal abuse. Because it can result in unintended consequences. As it did in my day, we lost lots of good investors, and now you've got a owner chairman who wants the club to do well, but doesn't want it so much that his wife and daughter moved down to London because of the harassment they were getting in Leeds. So I think we should get behind the team, get behind the players. One thing they've got to do, of course, is sort out Sam Byam's future. I know they had 2 or 3 attempts at it. I think they've got to face up now that I can't see Sam signing. This is only my personal view, but I would be surprised if Sam signed a new contract. I don't think he's going to sign one for less money. Why should he? He can walk out at the end of May anyway, on a free transfer. Leeds will get compensation, through the board if he goes to a Premiership club or indeed another Championship club. But it is won't be significant. And I think Evans already mentioned the idea that maybe they should bite the bullet, let Sam go in January. That would give Sam the security of a contract with a Premiership club and a obviously much bigger wage package. It would give Leeds money, which they can then reinvest in the team generally. Give the manager an opportunity to start blooding some more of the youngsters come through. So once again, in due course, we can have a Yorkshire-based Leeds team gracing the Premiership.
Well, as we touched on earlier on, KB, busy Christmas fixture list, and we've got once again the executive box on offer for the 2nd of January for the MK Dons game.
Yeah, not much time now, is it? What's the date today? 24th. So that's 7, 8, 9 days if people got to get a move on. But if they're in a Christmas spirit and they want to extend their Christmas spirit by watching Leeds play the MK Dons in our luxury box with the usual good food, wine and companionship, best seat in the house, they compete. Get on with the competition. So over to you, Darren, to give the details.
Thanks very much, KB. Yes, the question is this. Last time the Whites went to Stadium MK, the Moo Camp, was September the 20th, in 2015. They came away with a 2-1 win. Who scored the 31st-minute penalty for Leeds? Was it A, Chris Wood? Was it B, Charlie Taylor? Or was it C, Stuart Dallas? Text DAB and your answer A, B or C to 84383. You just need to text only the words DABA, DABB or DABC or your entry might be invalid. Your texts are £1 plus your standard message rate and you've got until the 29th of December 2015 to enter this. The winners will be chosen shortly after. All the T's and C's can be found on radioyorkshire.co.uk. Click on the win tab there. Good luck to you, and we'll see you hopefully on the 2nd of January. Finally, KB, Christmas Day tomorrow. Just leaves me to wish you a very Merry Christmas and ask for your Christmas message to Radio Yorkshire listeners.
Well, first of all, of course, have a great Christmas. If you're driving, be careful what you're drinking. The old joke about it is if you drink, don't drive. Which the drunk says, no, that's rubbish. If you're drunk, drive like hell and get home before the accident happens. Funny as a quick riposte, but not very good in real life. I've already been told by She Who Must Be Obeyed, one glass of champagne tomorrow before we drive back after lunch. But she said nothing about whiskey, gin, vodka, or wine, which gives me a bit of room. Oh dear, I'm getting a dirty look. So, have a great Christmas, whether it's small or big, family or friends, really enjoy. It's been a hard year for many people, many ways. Let's hope the 2016 will be better. On behalf of everybody at Radio Yorkshire, we'd like to thank you all for your support and for listening to Leeds based station, 247 Mullen Road. And I know the guys are planning the team to do an even better job next year. But more important, of course, the development into TV Yorkshire. We're already trialling it. Fans are now on the internet. But we're planning to launch properly in March, by which time we'll be really buzzing. We are determined to give you all a great service and a great alternative to the giants, maybe a different view. I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited about the people who have been listening and viewing to date. So, at the risk of being repetitive, have a great one. Have a fantastic new year. Remember the hard year work, the luckier you get. The more rewards you get. And when you're knackered, tired, or even want to change, switch on listen to or view Radio Yorkshire and TV Yorkshire, and watch by and stand by listening for a potential significant announcement early next year. Good luck. God bless. As that lovely Irish queenie used to say, may your God be with you.